You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. What a day. Got to go back to yesterday, David. What an extraordinary day. Yep. I think it was, we were 2.6% higher on the major index. What on earth happened there?
I don't, I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. I mean, when I say the bottom of it, because I think it's caught us off guard. The rate at which we're seeing mining shares, go up. I don't think anybody expected, and it's been led by the miners. Yesterday, we also had a very good day in Prosus and Naspers. Naspers was up about 9%, and that took its lead from some of the Chinese stocks that were a lot stronger. They seem to have come back today, and there's been a bit of a reversal. But there must have been some analyst who came out with very strong reports on Chinese tech companies, and that fed through in a big way. But the mining stocks have been difficult to grasp. And one of the explanations, and I say I have to, we look for stories. And one explanation, as you start to delve, is that China's likely to stimulate this year. In other words, they're likely to make to ease money rather than what we're seeing in the U.S. where they're tightening money. And one of the issues, yes, they slowed down last year. They had a few issues. But there's the equivalent of a re-election or an election in the second half. And I think a lot of people in high positions are seeking re-election. And they can't do so unless the economy is in full flight or going better. So it's an explanation. I don't know how true it is. But I think there seems to be a view that China will start to pick up from where it was. Now, the particular person that I spoke to favored more consumption. In other words, part of this common prosperity, rather than going for the tech companies. Tech companies, I think, are still going to find pressure. It's going to be very difficult for them to expand. So that seems to be a view. So China seems to be in focus. We see, the iron ore price has gone up from 100 to 130 as Chinese consumers build up inventory again. The copper price is there. The nickel price has gone up. So there's been something happening there that has just underpinned this very strong rise that we've seen in some of these mining stocks. But the other thing I have to point out as well, Lindsay, it's broad spread. There's even as I look today, I'm looking at my screen at the moment. The JSE ended up 0.1%. In fact, top 40 was down, but there were a lot more gainers and losers. To the point of like 1.5 to 2 to everyone. So 2 gainers to every 1 loser. So there's a lot of demand for local stock.
A lot of demand. I was talking about this the other day when I spoke to Nick Kunze, when you couldn't make it on Tuesday, and now he can't make it tonight, but we'll get together next week. But the point is that it was a day when Kumba Iron Ore was up around about 10%, I think it was. Yeah. And we both said to each other, well, let's have a look at the iron ore price. And it was flat at 120. And the Rand was actually a little bit stronger. So what could it have been? And I just put forward the theory that in the new year, people have got back to their desks and said, we need some exposure to South Africa. Conditions are relatively thin, and they just, when it's such a small part of their lives, these very rich fund managers overseas, they just press the buy button and buy a basket of stocks. And I think, to my mind, that can be the only explanation. And also, Naspers yesterday, as you quite rightly said, 9.4% to the good. It's a massive move. It's huge.
You're not wrong in your thought process. There's nothing, that is dead right. I think that somebody says, okay, it's time to go into emerging markets.
Yes.
We like emerging markets. If you've heard all the strategists for the year ahead, America's starting to look a bit tired. We expect earnings growth, but there will be a derating, a downgrading. In other words, earnings, share prices will not keep up with the growth in earnings. We've got to look elsewhere. We've heard people looking at Europe. They're looking at Japan, and they're looking at emerging markets. It could be the turnaround that we're going to see in China. When I say emerging markets, that's still regarded. Asia is still regarded. That's as emerging markets. So you could very well be right. It's across the board. And that itself lifts everything. And as soon as you see strong markets, I think it just attracts buyers, and institutions have got money to spend. They're starting to buy. But it's been a very broad game in our market, not confined to a handful of shares.
Good. Well, long may it continue. Let's have a look at some spot prices now, because there's very little news on the Stock Exchange News Service, any meaningful news anyway. So let's go straight to the spot prices. The Rand's done so well. What is it now? About 180 basis points to where it was before Christmas. 100 basis points better than it was before Christmas, because it's now 15.38, the dollar Rand. The British pound against the Rand, 21.14. Euro Rand is 17.64. Euro dollar, 114.70. Yeah. Now, this is a big one, because I've had two different calls with two different people, one a fund manager and one a technical analyst, and saying this is a big break to the
downside of the euro. Yeah.
Downside for the dollar. And that's weird.
Yes,
because
that's what I'm saying, upside for the euro. Yeah.
Upside euro, but I think it's more dollar weakness. Mm. Why is the dollar weak when interest rates are projected to go up three or four times in 2022? 114.70. That's a near 1% gain for the euro against the dollar. It's so weird. And the technical analysts are jumping through hoops at the moment saying this is a new period of dollar weakness. I don't get it. Maybe inflation.
It should be dollar strength.
Of course it should be.
Because, number one, the US economy is growing well. You know, inflation is high. They're going to start putting up rates. We don't know the extent of those rates. It's been telegraphed or whatever. It's been signaled. So I don't think it's going to come as a surprise. We're moving closer to real rates, meaning the rates less inflation. You know, the real rate is picking up. So there should be demand. If anything, Europe is going to lag, and the UK will lag. You do want to be in the dollar, and yet the dollar has come under a lot of pressure. Lindsay, the other side is maybe they fear stagflation, that we're going to get higher inflation with much lower growth, which is an awful position to be in. So it might be that's driving it down. But I don't think there's a clear explanation, but it has been under pressure. And the Rand's been one of the beneficiaries. The Rand was 16.20, I don't know, a week ago. As we came into the new year, it's 15.30.
Yes.
So it's we're benefiting once more. What could be the emerging market story? That we produce metals and minerals, and we've got some fairly good companies. This is where you've got to be. But it's hopefully it'll come out over the next few weeks. It'll stabilize and that. But I must say that it has been a very brisk start to the year.
It really has, and it's been a brisk start to the year for a commodity basket as well, David. I was watching Tottenham against Chelsea last night. It was so boring. It was a really terrible game. Spurs looked all over the place without Son, and so I switched to Brent crude oil price. At one stage, it was just below $85 per barrel, and it came back, and it was $84.20 this morning. Looking at my screen again now, and I'll give you the latest price. But again, it's getting close to $85 a barrel, and the actual basket of commodities, and as I said in another interview earlier today, it's a basket of commodities that are globally traded and widely used. I mean, everything from oats to lithium, and you know the story. And it's at the highest level since 2014. So the inflation story is not going away anywhere. And therefore, to me, interest rates have to keep on going up. I spoke to someone who said that he reckons over the next 2 years there'll be 8 interest rate rises in the United States. So not the 1.5% that the markets are predicting after that period, but more like 2%, maybe even 2.5%, which just doesn't sound much, but it's certainly it's better than zero if you're a saver, that is.
Look, it's going to no one knows. No one can forecast this, and it's going to be one of these. That's why I'm expecting so much volatility. When we talk about volatility and you want to talk about the sensitivity of markets, Lindsay, as we started to talk.
Yes.
And I just had the screen in front of me, and I was looking at the US markets. The S&P was up and the NASDAQ was up about 0.25%. In the last 2 seconds or minutes, it's gone the other way. The NASDAQ is now reversed and is now down 0.25%, literally, in no more than a few minutes. Now, what is happening at the moment is Lael Brainard, Brainerd, if that's how you pronounce her name, is giving testimony in the Senate, you know, for her appointment as the second in command at the Fed.
Right.
So she might have said something. Mark could say, Lael Brainerd said this. She's going to be the deputy Fed governor. Oh, boom. And they go the other way. Mm. So that gives you an idea of what we are going to go through every day of our lives until this is sorted out. You won't know from 1 minute to the next where you are in the market. I would imagine it's going to be that kind of sensitivity that we go through.
Yeah, I must admit.
I don't know what the story is, but literally we were up 0.25%. I said, well, that's nice. And now we're down 0.25%, you know. So someone comes in and sells big baskets, whatever it is. I think it's going to be these arguments that you're putting in front of me now, you know, about the various inflation outlook, I think are going to really make it a very difficult market to negotiate this year.
Yes, which is why your stock picking skills that you've developed over the decades, David, will serve you well. And there'll be some stocks. I mean, there'll be a switch from value to growth and growth to value. And you're a growth stock person rather than a value stock person. So maybe for a few months you'll suffer a bit relative to other sectors. But overall, I don't think you need to worry too much about someone who's second in command at the Fed knocking the S&P by 0.25%. Don't worry about that, David.
I think the issue is that you have to manage client expectations, and it's always very interesting. That's the difficult side of what we do. Looking for good companies is not difficult. You know the good companies, and but I think what is difficult is actually managing clients' portfolios, because I always say everybody's a long-term investor until the market lurches downward. You know, when you get that ratchet, then all of a sudden they're looking at front of, in the same way as I'm looking at the NASDAQ now, down now 0.3%, and I start to get this lump in my throat and start saying, oh, well, this burning in my chest, and you know, and that's how we operate. It never used to be like that. It was much, and then that's why Buffett says, just don't watch the market. But we can't help it. So I've been doing quite a bit of work, kind of working out, trying to position ourselves. And I think what does come out is that earnings will be going up, and economies will start improving. But the big but is that, as we saw last year, this was a fact that I didn't know and was pointed out to me, is that earnings growth and in companies, and looking at the S&P, earnings was far greater than the market picked up. So even though the market was up 27%, earnings grew a lot more than that. So there was a derating, and I would expect we're going to see a further derating. In other words, that companies don't keep up with earnings growth. If earnings grow at 10%, the market will go at 6%. So you'll have a 4% derating. So you'll start to see multiples, PEs, starting to come down. I think it's going to be another year like that. And that could continue until we get back to some reasonable valuations.
Okay, good point. Let me continue with the spot markets now, David. Let's go to commodities. Yep. 18.17 is the gold price, which is up 10. It's come off. It was up a lot more this morning. But anyway, we'll take that. Gold bulls will. Platinum is $966, up $19 an ounce. And palladium is down 17 to 18.94. There's a lot of hedge fund activity, I'm sure, between palladium and platinum, because one day one is up and then the next day it's down and vice versa. But anyway, that need not detain us. The oil price, which I referenced earlier on, looks like this: $84.73 per barrel for Brent crude. Now it's actually gone negative now, $84.59, which is down very slightly. West Texas crude is $82.44. Yesterday, natural gas was up 13%. It's now down 8%. I don't know if that's a weather projection or something, but it has been cold in Europe in the last few days, and I think that's why natural gas went up. But that's a terrible situation for consumers. It really is. The wholesale price is stuffing up the consumer and stuffing up the smaller energy companies, particularly in the UK. The US 10-year bond yield is, let's call it 1.74%. That's doing absolutely nothing. The South African 10-year bond yield, it's doing okay, but I would have thought it would be better given the strength of the rand, 9.43%. Bitcoin, which people are now touting as an inflation hedge. Where they get that from, I don't know. 43,270. Mm. That's turned around a little bit.
It's gone a bit off, hey, Lindsay. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it used to dominate headlines every day if people spoke. Suddenly, no one's talking about it.
Well, why would you talk about something enthusiastically when it was 68,500 nearly 3 months ago, and it's now 43,000? Mm. I mean, as you've pointed out so many times, if that was the Dow Jones or the S&P or the JSE Securities Exchange All Share Index falling that percentage, there would be, you know, blood on the streets. Mm. But Bitcoin, the brave new world of Bitcoin, has fallen $25,000 a coin in 3 months. It's unbelievable. Yeah. David,
one says anything.
No one says a word. No, there's a stony silence when it's down that much. I'm going to give you my screen with the. Can you tell me, just before I give you the top five and bottom five, what is Alpha Min? Has it changed its name? Is it?
It's a tin mine. No, it's a tin mine in the Congo.
Okay.
So it's in fact, I must admit, the I don't know whether the owners, proprietors, whatever they were, came to see us. And I said, who buys tin? And they told me stories which were fascinating about mining up in the Congo, how they actually had to have their own private army.
Security.
To protect them. Because otherwise you robbed, I don't know whether you murdered or anything, but it's not very easy. But they were mining and they spoke very highly about it. I just not poo-pooed it. It was too high risk for us, but it's done very, you know, brilliantly. And why? Because tin is actually used in semiconductors, you know, as for welding. What do you call it? Soldering. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, but it's been quite a success story here without anybody noticing it. You know, the fact that you had to ask what it does. And I'm not criticizing you in any way because very few people know about it.
Criticize me as much as you like. Anyway,
year-to-date. I also didn't know what it was.
Year-to-date, the tin price in dollars is up 2.75%. But this is just 2022.
Crazy. It's a 20 billion company.
Yeah, and do you know what it did
it's
today?
Up 18%.
18% today, David. Well, someone's doing well. 18%. I'm getting the other stuff together, what sort of volume's going through there?
Well, 885,000 rand.
No, that's nothing. Okay.
No, I know. That's hardly anything. But that gives you an idea of the illiquidity.
Yes.
And how, if you need stock, that this was on very few, on 55,000 shares at 15 rand. So it's not even a million rand. I know that's a problem with these. So you get this false sense of of wealth. But listen, it's a 20 billion company. Mm. You know that takes it up in the rankings. So I'm going to do a quick sort now as we talk.
Okay, you do that. I'll give you the other ones. Anyway, Alphamin.
As we talk,
up 17.7% for Alphamin. Sappi up 4.4%. Old Mutual, nearly 4% higher. That's a big one. Fashini, the TFG group, 3.25% up. And AB InBev, the beer company, 3.1% higher. And that's unusual as well, given the fact that the rand is so strong. On the downside, I've got Northern Platinum down 3.75%. Impala Platinum down 3%. Bidcorp, a 2.6% loser. RCL, food company down 2.4%, and another platinum player on the downside, 2.2% down for Royal Bafokeng. That's gone a bit quiet, all that story with Northern, Royal Bafokeng, Impala, Platinum, etc. Nothing in the new year. I'm sure we'll hear more quite soon, David. What have you been unearthing while I've been talking?
I'm just looking at I didn't even have it on my spreadsheet. And it's up 20% today. I have it as a market cap, but I've added it to, when I say my spreadsheet, the list of shares that I follow. But I had no idea that it had gone up to that kind of that level. Now, why I say that is that if I look at some of the resource shares and I look at their market cap, if we look at Marafi, it's a 3 billion company, Pan African Resources, 8 billion, Durban Deep, 11 billion. Now, this is ArcelorMittal has a market cap of 11 billion. Here we have this tin mine of a 20 billion. You know, Thungela, which we make a lot of fuss about, 12 billion. So it gives you an idea where it is in the pecking order and how far it is. It's making an attack now on Harmony. Now, Harmony's still about 36 billion. So, I mean, this has just gone up the ranks, this mine. And, you know, credit to whoever owns it. I'm not sure who the owners are. But there you are. That's what's happened.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to be a miner in the DRC, given its given its recent history and its continued volatility politically. But anyway, David, give us the closing JSE indices, if you would, and also the value traded, and also, third thing, Live Wall Street.
Okay, so All Share Index was up 41 points. Okay. So we're at 75926. We actually came from a very low position, a loss. We opened up down and have clawed our way up. The top 40, though, was down 0.03, down 19 points. So that closed at 69,188. Miners came under a bit of pressure, nothing dramatic, you know, a quarter of a point if you look around there. So the precious metals and mining, which are gold and platinum shares, down 1.4%. Banks up about 1%. The financial index overall, which includes the insurers, also flat, up around about 1%, so nothing dramatic there as well. Industrial slightly down, and that's because we had Nasperson, Richemont, and all of those under pressure. In fact, if you look at the top 40 shares, I see BHP came, you know, came good right at the end, but Nasperson, Process, Anglos, Richemont were all down. Richemont today, the biggest contributor to the top 40, it's about a 16% contributor to the, you know, to the overall index. So it was kind of a mixed picture. I'm just going to look outside of the of the main shares to see if there were any features that we kind of missed. You know, besides your Alphaman, not really. Caxton 4%, AECI 4%. So there's been, you know, this is just part of this broad demand that we're seeing for South African shares on the negative side. So the big feature was this Alphaman Resources. I see Sasfin came down 40%. I'm not sure what took that share price down.
Maybe your commentary. Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Mixed Telematics down 7%. Murray's down 6%.
Gosh.
Those were, yeah, these are normal movements that we've seen on a day-to-day basis. But I wanted to just go through the volumes on the day.
Yes, please.
The value traded today was about, 17 billion, which is below the 20 billion. Yesterday we had a 20 billion, but by and large, volumes have been really, really low. We haven't seen much activity. Nasperson, the biggest trade, about 10%. Billiton, 5%. Anglos, 5%. Process, 4%. But nothing outstanding. There's no, you know, these are just, generally, these are the companies that make up the biggest volume traders.
Okay, interesting. And just on Wall Street, yes, NASDAQ, Dow, and S&P, if you would.
I can't give you the Dow, but we're now the NASDAQ is down about 0.5%, and the S&P is flat. It's down 0.1%. So then I don't know what's taken the NASDAQ down now. But something must have happened in the last few minutes that's reversed what was. It started in the up and has now seems to be losing a bit of momentum. But, Lindsay, do we know how it's going to close?
Of course we don't.
You cannot bet on it.
No. If we did, we wouldn't be talking to each other now. We'd be on a beach somewhere. All right. Yeah. David Shapiro, thank you very much for your time. That's the value traded on the JSE. I missed it. I think I was reading something when you
about 18 billion.
That's okay. That's all right. It was 11 at the beginning of the week, so it's getting better. All right.
17 billion. Bad.
David
can't make a living out of that.
David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.